Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this afternoon's teleconsultation session entitled, Is Resistance to the Cloud in Banking Warranted? This is our teleconsultation for this afternoon. We will be having it for 1 hour. This is your moderator, Aldo, Senior Research Analyst from the Asian Banker. And we are pleased to have with us our speakers and panelists this afternoon. Before I hand it over to Brennan, who will be our first speaker, allow me to make a few introductions on the topic. In recent years, CIOs have increasingly been under pressure to improve the performance of their IT systems, which serve as the technology backbone for bank operations, while being expected to simultaneously reduce their overall costs. Bank operations have become more diverse as more products and various channels are introduced, creating more demand for platforms and core banking systems. Regulators themselves are demanding robust disaster recovery systems, and both regulators and investors demand an uptime of 99.999% for banking services across channels. Furthermore, banks themselves want to leverage on business and customer analytics to cater product for specific clients or to address the changing needs of their customers. So with all this backdrop, cloud computing has been identified as one of the enablers or solutions for these problems. However, banks have encountered resistance not only internally, but also from regulators. So we're hoping that this afternoon's teleconsultation will help everybody understand cloud computing better and also understand the resistance to cloud computing and perhaps see which cloud computing model is best for their organization. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Braden Wondra, the CTO for HP Enterprise Services for Asia Pacific and Japan.
Thanks, Aldo. Appreciate the introduction and good afternoon to everybody. I'm glad to be here and share my thoughts on this topic with you. I will now attempt to share a presentation and hopefully you can see my screen as I walk through the topic. So most of what I share today will be results of really work that we've done recently with clients in financial services. And while I'll try to address the resistance question, hopefully I have a positive case study and some positive benefits to share that Aldo alluded to in his introduction. So obviously there's been quite a bit of hype around this topic of that you set out, although in terms of flipping the ratios, focusing on innovation and agility. And alongside of that, I think most of our clients are telling us that cloud, certainly in infrastructure and also more and more often in software as a service, is one of the areas where they see themselves making the first steps in that direction. The general challenges and the realities that we've seen in the marketplace and is also supported by some of this data that I have here from Gartner really says that certainly regulation and compliance are key concerns. More and more business leaders are looking to see IT as a profit center, as a part of their growth, as a part of their customer interaction. And IT is becoming more and more a ratio or an area that investors are measuring financial services firms on. To that end, a strong percentage of CEOs see CIOs and IT people as too technical and needing more business acumen. So hopefully that's something that can guide us through the conversation that we have today. Of course, cloud is every day becoming more and more of a religion. And so we're often accused less of being technologists than perhaps philosophers chanting a mantra. But in fact, there is some reality in terms of what an infrastructure modernization program can bring to the table in terms of savings, in terms of simplifying the IT landscape inside of an organization, and enabling us as technologists inside of our own organizations to move faster and create new services. That simply has the effect of us contributing to the bottom line and the business performance, helping us deliver new features, services, and innovations, helping us break lock-in and sort of the status quo legacy that traps us. Often that happens with vendors, it happens with internal organizations, it happens with applications, it happens with infrastructure. And it holds us back from growing and competing. So these types of programs that we'll discuss today should help us become superheroes. I wanted to set a little bit of context. I found this interesting statistic that over this 30-year period, we saw computing and communication costs drop 1,000-fold. And we see that in our everyday lives, in the cost of phone calls. We see that in the cost of the computing power that we now have on our desktops versus what we would have had in the early 70s. But really, if you want to think about that and the next that's coming in terms of the revolution, the as-a-service revolution that's coming, you see what that would do to the cost of your car. So if the same price decrease happened to cars, we'd be paying $5 for cars today. So it's a dramatic change, and we expect to see the same kind of changes happen as cloud computing brings an increased computing communication power even further down the stack and makes it more available at lower prices. That kind of consumerization is going on right now, and the journey that we see happening is really one of starting with standardizing, understanding a number of infrastructure buckets, as you will, that you can start to rationalize your workloads into. Once you have a grip on how many standard buckets you might be able to fit a majority of your workloads into, you can start to automate the management and operation of those workloads. So you've built yourself a standard architecture and you've brought down the cost of managing and operating that infrastructure. Then you'll start to consolidate applications and workloads into those different buckets. And gradually over time, you'll need to optimize and tweak those, modernize them, and make them even higher performance. Along the way, one of the key attributes that we see organizations needing to grow their skills in is becoming a broker and right sourcing, understanding what workloads they want to run internally on dedicated systems, what workloads they might run internally on private clouds or private shared services, what sort of workloads might float back and forth between internal environments and external environments, and finally, what kind of workloads might exist only on public cloud systems. So we don't advocate that everything is going in one direction, but we believe in a hybrid world where you as IT leaders will need to figure out where you run those workloads and how you right source the provision of that infrastructure. So looking at how some successful clients that I've worked with recently have been doing this, they've really focused their efforts at the front end of things, at let's call it the design phase, with architects and security professionals helping them look at that roadmap ahead and understand where they're going. They've then taken a very rational approach at where those different infrastructure platforms might exist. They've applied a factory or manufacturing model to those environments, and they've really started to get their hands dirty in applications modernization. Because when we look at banking and insurance firms, financial services firms in general, there's really a decades of legacy in terms of applications, and you know it, you've got COBOL code, you've got all kinds of ancient architectures, and it's really about getting in there and figuring out where those legacy systems can be modernized and replatformed. It's an iterative process that you need to be willing to go in and repeat and do it again and do it again, because it's a never-ending story that's going to completely perpetuate itself going forward in the future. Governance is what our clients are telling us is really key, and some of the tips that I've heard recently is really about, again, envisioning this end state of where you want to be, envisioning what you're going to need at that destination, people, talent, infrastructure resources, partnerships, and working backwards from there to start to spill and fill that. One of the key factors that we've heard more and more recently is that we as IT people often have struggles with the business in terms of getting them to come along on a journey with us, us understanding the business's sensitivities and needs. And that's where it's very helpful in a number of cases we've seen recently to have some sort of support or mandate for what the end goals are, what the outcomes that the organization is looking for along this journey to cloud, and getting some sort of governance in place so that that interplay and relationship, the dynamic with the business, can be managed. Of course, you have challenges, and you know they're not limited just to regulatory and compliance. You have privacy issues, and when you look across a growing multi-country region like we're in here in Asia Pacific, you certainly have these differences that are going to be multifold across all of the different countries. Privacy, and then finally, sponsorship. So I'm hoping that my colleagues who speak after me can help us elaborate further on some of these challenges. But keeping up with regulation and keeping up with compliance are two of the top ones that we've heard over and over again. I wanted to share with you this business case. You know, this is something that I took out of a case study with a client that we worked with recently. They were starting with a base case spend in OpEx and had some growth going in that. And we looked at really what kind of benefits we could get out of an IMOD and AMOD journey. And the challenges that most organizations are dealing with right now is really how to modernize at the same time that they deliver cost savings back to the business and deliver on new projects in an agile fashion. And what we saw working with this client is that we were able to project out an OpEx savings and a P&L improvement back to the business while at the same time making an investment of $50 million each year in terms of application modernization, and that the whole thing could come out as a net positive improvement to the P&L. Now, I won't say that along the way here there were not hiccups. Governance was one of the biggest issues as they moved through the applications modernization program, and they didn't, in the first and second year, deliver as quickly on the projects as they had been in the prior 2 years. So there are challenges to doing this, but this case gave us really some hope and some aspiration that you could actually make investments to get yourself out of the legacy application spaghetti and into a more modern world and have that be self-funding. Some of the things that your peers and colleagues have been investing in and doing in terms of innovation are listed here, and it's a really exciting world out there. It'll be interesting to hear the colleague from Standard Chartered. It's one of the more innovative banks in terms of mobile services, in terms of niche marketing, group offers. So they've got quite an exciting offering that Standard Chartered has come out with in several countries in Asia. So the benefits that you can derive from doing this kind of modernization and journey to cloud enable you to work on these kinds of new innovations. So at HP, we see this journey to cloud as bringing you opportunities in a seamless, secure, and context-aware fashion. It's a connected world where everybody will be connected and on. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to the panel and answering your questions later.
Okay, thanks for that presentation, Braden. We're actually trying to address some connectivity issues with the other speakers right now. So perhaps we can field some of the questions that have come in while you were making your presentation. And one of the questions is, you mentioned being able to talk to the different business lines, and really key governance is one of the issues in enabling cloud computing to be implemented in the enterprise. So what would you suggest, I guess, for CIOs or CTOs who have had requests for productivity be improved, and yet at the same time, their business heads or the other business heads of the banks are concerned about the security that cloud computing might, the security issues that cloud computing raises. So what advice can you give for key governance?
Sure, although that's a great question. And I think that in understanding that type of challenge in the organizations that I've worked with most recently, the topic of cloud has become very philosophical or religious or vendor hype. I don't know how you want to characterize it, but the difficulty is that we all have at different moments in time different understandings of what cloud means, and so that's why I think it's important when you're having these types of conversations to sometimes throw out the word cloud and try to avoid it in the conversation, and perhaps use words like private shared services or infrastructure services, and define where those different services exist, whether they're behind your own firewall or whether it's something that you've outsourced in a managed service or whether it's something that you've perhaps even hosted in public cloud like Amazon. Because they all have different characteristics, and you can often take that security question right out of the conversation if you're clear in talking about, you know, whether the cloud service is internal or private cloud, because then you may not even have that topic come up. So I think, you know, context setting and understanding what you're talking about is important. I think a second area that's very important as you're negotiating this journey with business leaders is really understanding what everybody's shared goals are. So the most successful transformations that we've seen have all started with business and IT saying, look, this is where we want to get to. We understand that it's going to cost some money. It's going to bring some benefits. We're going to be able to move faster, but we will have some downtime. And to sort of, you know, negotiate and get those issues out on the table at the beginning so that everybody feels ownership and everybody feels a sense of entitlement in where that's going. Was that helpful to answer your question?
Yep, that's very helpful. And I guess as a parallel discussion on this one is the discussion with regulators and how a lot of the regulators, of course, are raising issues on security and those things. And would you suggest the same thing, like when banks talk to regulators, moving the discussion forward in the different countries, do you think that they should be more what strategy would you recommend that they do in moving the discussion in their different countries? Because what we're hearing from a lot of the banks is the primary concern that regulators have is, for them, it seems like cloud computing is a form of outsourcing an entire IT division, which would have sensitive data and all those stuff. And the regulators are, of course, concerned about disruption issues.
Yep, absolutely. And there have been, you know, certainly a number of incidents in the region here in Singapore, where I'm based, over the last year that have, you know, helped highlight that for the regulators. But again, the reports back that I've heard, we hosted a breakfast actually at your conference a couple of months ago, and this was one of the topics that came up. Some of the feedback that we got there was that, again, having rational and defined conversations where we take a broad term like cloud or a broad term like outsourcing, and we start to define exactly what we're talking about in a particular case. We may be moving to a managed service, but the managed service will still be hosted in the same data center in the same country. No data will be going offshore, and the right amount of due diligence and care has actually been taken to ensure that SLAs and disruptions are avoided. So for the most part, you know, the process, I often hear bankers and financial service executives complaining about, and I think the process is onerous and the discussions are long, but I've heard some positive outcomes coming out of the efforts that financial services executives have put into the conversation in terms of the result that they get out the other side. I think regulators are in general pretty business friendly here in the region, and for the most part looking to see that we all have some measure of success.
Okay, thanks for that, Braden. We shall hold the other questions on our other open forum segment. I believe that Gabriel is already inside. Gabriel?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes,
hello,
Gabriel.
Can you hear?
Yep, we can hear you, Gabriel.
Okay, thanks. In terms of, again, Standard Chartered and our journey to the cloud initially started looking at internally, so spending a lot of time evaluating products, evaluating technology that will allow us to create essentially a private cloud. So concerns around security was one of the number one factors in terms of deciding how do we implement a solution that will allow us to take advantage of the latest technology around cloud computing. So for us, again, step one, I think most organizations, be it in financial services and in other industries, was to look at what's your virtualization strategy. So essentially looking at components that will allow you to scale within an environment, and also the potential opportunity to scale out of that environment, essentially cloud burst. And a project that we run last year was to look at especially our development and test environment here in Singapore, whereby allowing our developers to have a quicker time to market, essentially creating an infrastructure as a service with one of the providers here that allow them to quickly have an environment, be it a physical machine, an OS, ready to go, and for us to allow us to test and develop pretty quickly. The previous speaker mentioned issues around compliance, around security, but for us, our number one goal was to get a better understanding and feel about how quickly can we provision machines, and essentially look at reducing our time to market, and also potentially reduce our cost base as well in terms of putting infrastructure in front of developers for them to use.
Gabriel?
That's generally an overview of what we are trying to achieve here within Standard Chartered Bank. And any specific questions that need answered?
Okay. Actually, we have a question raised here for both of you guys. This one is coming from a regulator who's attending our teleconsultation. He's asking, do you have any comments on how regulators can somehow guide the transition of financial institutions into cloud computing? Most regulators have concerns that FIs are taking cloud computing too soon and too fast and too quickly. So this time it's actually a regulator who's asking the question. Perhaps you can begin with Gabriel, and then we'll hand it over to Braden. So Gabriel, your thoughts on the question from the regulator?
It's back to the traditional question. What do you mean by cloud? Are we talking about a public cloud, private cloud? For us, and I would say for a few months and to come, it will always be a private cloud. Yes, there's a lot of vendors out there that are looking at giving us a better understanding of, security, compliance. I do understand the concerns of the regulators in terms of putting customer data, putting intellectual property of the both company into a public cloud. But in terms of I would say what looking at the bigger picture in terms of public cloud, I think for us as an organization, we are looking, we're not looking at as a near term possibly to go into a public cloud. So what are we doing basically? We're leveraging all the technology that we currently have out there from vendors in terms of how they're deploying their service. And that's one of the first arguments I have with cloud providers. Enable customers to deploy an internal cloud that will open new market for potentially down the line have the opportunity to look at public clouds.
Okay, thanks. Brandon, your thoughts on the regulator asking for some comments on how they could, I guess, effectively and carefully guide the transition into cloud computing?
I think it's a great question, although, you know, when you look at, for example, Singapore, the government itself in Singapore seems to be encouraging development of cloud resources within the territory for the use of government itself, for example. And I think that some if regulators want to guide it in the right direction, they could take advantage of some of the work that's been done by governments themselves and draw benefit from that and how they project out the roadmap for private enterprise within their purview. Also, I think you have a number of alliance, Open Data Center Alliance, Cloud Security Alliance, and of course, talking to vendors like HP, Cisco, IBM, and so on to understand sort of the state of play with the technologies and so on. I think we're all interested in seeing the same end result. So the more conversations we have and the more understanding we build out, the better things will be for us. Certainly, I think that most organizations, as my colleague from Standard Chartered just said, most organizations are not looking to take and move private data from, say, Singapore or Hong Kong to Amazon Web Services hosted in Seattle. That would be a pretty radical shift and certainly raise a lot of regulatory and compliance concerns. I think that most organizations are, as you described, moving down this standardization, automation, optimization sort of journey, and that takes them in the direction of cloud, but certainly not to the radical endpoint that is so often talked about in the press.
Okay, we have a couple of new questions that have been raised. One question that's been raised is, for enterprises that have already adopted cloud computing, how do you ensure that customer data are securely removed from the providers when the services for cloud computing are no longer required? So I guess this is more of like an exit strategy question. If you have implemented cloud computing and if it is of the type where you share customer data to the cloud computing provider, either as in storage or also processing or also CRM or data analysis, the question I guess is leading towards how do you ensure that the data has been securely removed and your provider once you exit, I guess, the contract or the agreement? Perhaps we can begin again with Gabriel and then Brandon.
I don't know how to answer this question. I mean, we haven't been into that situation in terms of moving customer data into the cloud. Again, public, even a private cloud. So most customer data will stay within our four walls within the data center. But looking at in the future, again, there's a lot of technologies out there around security, around data cleansing, around encryptions that we use today. So we connect to ECN, to electronic channels, where data will leave our data center to go to the likes of another trusted party. So all the technology, I believe, currently are there to allow financial institution to transmit data, to store data in a secure way. But again, I think it's around the maturity of cloud computing out there that people are reticent in terms of deploying data out there in the cloud.
Okay, thanks, Gabriel. Braden, what are your thoughts on this one? I guess this one is how would companies or how would banks effectively monitor the security of such information either during or after the services have been received?
Absolutely. Although, and I would support what Gabriel said and sort of amplify that by saying that, you know, firstly, you want to choose a partner who's going to step up to the level of transparency and audit that you need, that your regulator needs, and enable you to see what their operations look like, whether they comply with different industry standards, whether that's ISO or Cloud Security Alliance or other security standards. So, you know, taking a look at, for example, the enterprise cloud service that we offer for computing and storage, which is really the next sort of step beyond managed servers, but it is not at all a public cloud service. And when you look at data removal and cleansing, we actually offer our customers different options. And, you know, you can actually choose that you want to have the disks destroyed. So that sort of goes against the thinking of cloud computing, that you back out of it and you actually end up seeing then the hardware go away. But there's an additional cost, and maybe you need that. Maybe you need, you know, military-grade disk wiping. And what you want to see is that you've got a partner who's got the right operational procedures in place that goes through and checks their work, obviously, and then is willing to be, you know, willing to be audited when necessary to make sure that those steps have been taken. One of the interesting things that we put in place early on was sort of an outgrowth from some software acquisitions that we made. But when you talk about SLAs and monitoring, we have a service called Cloud Assure that is actually meant to track and make sure that you're getting the right operational performance and the right service level out of your different cloud providers or vendors in this space. So it's a modern cloud era monitoring tool.
Okay, thank you. We have another question here from one of our participants, and the question is whether do you guys see an opportunity to modify the public cloud model? And the question mentions tokenization to reap the benefits of cloud computing without accepting the risk of inadequate security and data privacy. So apart from the different models of cloud computing, is a particular model of cloud computing, such as public cloud computing, evolving, and where do you guys see it evolving into? And also, if you have comments on private cloud computing, if there's some developments on that end as well, we would like to hear your thoughts. So, Gabriel?
Yeah, in terms of cloud computing and how it's maturing, I mean, I think it's basically customer-driven. We are seeing a lot of customers not prepared to share, to have a multi-tenant environment. And we've seen most of the providers starting to change their business models to attract more customers. And we've seen the likes of Amazon offering the virtual private cloud, which is essentially, I would say, a hosted solution where you have a dedicated network that only you as a customer have data run on that network. So we are starting to see, again, a shift towards the hybrid model whereby you have essentially, which is a ring fence environment. But that brings, again, the question around the business model for the cloud provider. I mean, where do they make their money in terms of having that traditional multi-tenancy environment where they can benefit from economies of scales and multi-tenancy, but as opposed to having a private hosted solution, which is, again, scalable, which is adaptive, which has all the characteristics of your traditional public cloud environment. So I would say that in the coming months and years, I would see vendors creating, I would say, what I like to call probably trusted hybrid compute models, where vendors, clients share a zone within the larger part of a data center that's secure, meets all the SLAs of the customer, as well as having a better understanding in terms of issues around security, issues around compliance. So there's more work that in that space. I mean, we've seen recently the likes of NYSE in New York providing cloud-based service for their customers. So I would see more in general, probably more niche type private cloud services coming into the fore for customers to consume.
Okay, thanks, Gabriel. Brandon?
Probably don't have a whole lot to add to that particular topic, but I do agree with the comment that we're in early days here and things continue to evolve. Folks get together and start to put standards in place, and that's certainly going to help us along that journey.
I guess that comment of that we're in the early days of cloud computing is timely and needed, especially since cloud computing has been suffering, well, apart from what when Braden was saying in the beginning, where there was all this hype about cloud computing, how it could solve almost all of the efficiency problems and utility ratio problems that banks have with their IT systems. Then afterwards, in the past few months, there have been a series of certain outages of banks employing cloud computing or even non-banks suffering from cloud computing. And the thought or the message that it's still in its initial phase or stage and it is yet to evolve is an important one for everybody to keep in mind, I guess, and so that people don't necessarily panic whenever there's a news of an outage or a security breach or a some network that's been down because of some glitch or some fault. So let's move on to other questions. This one is directed more to Gabriel. We have a question here. If you could share one or two applications that you already have on the cloud and how you're leveraging the cloud for that one?
Again, this was, again, a project we did last year, and this looked at our test and dev environment. So it wasn't an application as such, but it was mainly providing a development platform for our developers to use quickly, reliably, and securely, and was looking at, as I mentioned, infrastructure as a service, so getting a server up and running in a matter of hours as opposed to going through the whole procurement process of purchasing the server, shipping the server to the data center, racking, cabling the server, installing an OS. So essentially looking at what we currently have in the data center in terms of virtualization, is there an opportunity in terms of cost reduction, in terms of time to market of an external providing that service. So there wasn't an application as such that was, again, being run in that environment. It was more of a development network. But there's a number of use cases where cloud makes sense. I mean, I've spent most of my life looking at high-performance computing and grid computing, and we are starting to see companies both in financial services, in oil and gas, using on-demand utility-based computing. So essentially, running calculation where there's very little data that needs to be running on the cloud. It's all highly compute-intensive environment. And also in workloads where that are very deterministic. So you know, essentially for a number of hours, you need to run a value at risk calculation. You know, you can run it between the hours of 6 to 8 on a cloud potentially. That again is a really good use case for the cloud. But we haven't seen again the adoption of public cloud for those use cases. But definitely, internally, you would see banks starting to build environment where the underlying infrastructure is shared as a service. So today it can run Monte Carlo simulation. Tomorrow it can run another set of analytics. But again, the move towards bursting out of the data center is not there yet. But there's a number of use cases in terms of cloud that makes sense.
Okay, thank you. We would like to hear your thoughts, Gabriel. So, earlier when Braden was making his presentation, he said that governance was very key for the implementation for cloud computing, or even the enterprise shifting into accepting the model of cloud computing. I guess if you could share with us even briefly your experience in your bank, was there much resistance with cloud computing, or was it a matter of fact evolution from hosted managed services, and was there a lot of rethink or reevaluation of what it actually meant, or how your institution would want to capitalize or strategize on cloud computing?
Yeah, with any introduction of new technology, I mean, you will receive a level of resistance, and cloud is no different. But for us, again, is making sure that our existing governance is not modified just for the cloud environment. But again, I want to reiterate, I mean, most of the work we've done around cloud was essentially a product cloud. So we was looking at our current environment. Does it meet our security standards? Does it meet our availability standards, our performance standards in terms of having this service that will allow better reliability, better time to market? So the governance, as I say, I mean, you shouldn't have a drastic modification of your current governance for your existing environment in terms of putting cloud. Cloud, for me personally, is an enabler. It will challenge your current processes. Yes, that's the without doubt. It will challenge the way you do things today, but you shouldn't deviate from your policies, your security policies. There are areas, especially when you try to get out of the private cloud, yeah, you need to tighten your security process policies. But when you're building an internal cloud, your governance shouldn't be again. Drastically modified just for the purpose of a cloud.
Okay, thanks for that. I guess following up on the issue of governance again, perhaps I can ask this question, direct this question to Braden. In terms of the industry, Braden, do you see that a lot more banks are willing to talk about or even explore the issue of cloud computing as compared to previous years, or do you think that the recent news of outages, not necessarily for banks, but for other enterprises who use cloud computing, has that hurt the dialogue at all with the banks moving forward with what they can do or what they cannot do with cloud computing?
Again, I think it does come down to your definitions, firstly. It has caused, the recent outages have caused folks to examine more carefully where they are running different workloads and which partners they place their business with and how far they go on that cloud journey. But I don't see that it's necessarily caused a slowdown in the trend or changed the overall direction. And Gabriel has outlined, you know, a starting point and looking at virtualization, looking at standardization and what benefits that can bring. And, you know, you've talked a little bit about the other extreme. Certainly one area where I've seen quite a bit of interest when you ask the question around applications and which ones might go to the cloud, you know, people continue to look, both in banking and in other industries, to look at email and collaboration and how they can further optimize that space, and whether they use, you know, email as a service or software as a service to solve that problem, or whether they just run those workloads in more optimized environments and can get you know, more out of their infrastructure spend there. So that's certainly an area where interest has continued very strongly. And then obviously when you look at some of the more commodity applications that most organizations run, let's call them back office operations type of things that are non-critical business systems, non-differentiating business systems, I believe that You know, we continue to see strong interest in how efficiencies can be gained in that space. So I don't think there's necessarily been a slowdown, but there is sort of, I would classify what Gabriel said as reminder to keep with the basics, to remember service levels, security, et cetera. All the things that you've been naturally doing don't go out the window just because you're going to, you know, start looking to the sky or something.
Okay, thanks. Perhaps as a final question for this afternoon, we have a question from one of the participants. Do you think cloud computing as a business continuity infrastructure enabler is a bad idea? Or is it good or a bad idea? I guess the person is asking whether people who think that they can use cloud computing as an enabler for business continuity, as probably either as a disaster recovery or as a data storage recovery system platform. Do you think that's a good idea or that's a bad idea? We can begin with Gable and then perhaps Braden.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, again, it doesn't, today, how do you do DR? I mean, you have probably a hosted solution somewhere that acts as a backup to your primary environment. So if cloud means that you can scale, you can have a shorter time frame in terms of recovery, then yes, it makes sense. But again, don't deviate from issues around security, around governance. Once those are in place and you're satisfied that they fulfill your requirements in terms of creating a new environment in the cloud, then yeah, it makes sense. But again, it's always back to that question. I mean, will my application be running in a secure environment? Will I be able to speak to my compliance team and assure them that data is safe and it is secure? Will the regulators be happy with what I'm trying to do in terms of? So there's a number of variables that you need to address before saying yeah, that it makes sense. But in terms of technology, without doubt, and we've seen it in number of technologies and solutions, especially again with the underlying virtualization, how quickly you can bring up an environment, how quickly you can move a virtual machine from one side to another, depending on distance. So the technology is there, but we need to look at, again, the other issues around adopting cloud-based environments as well.
Okay, thanks. Braden?
Absolutely. With those cautionary principles in place, we would absolutely agree and see DR as well as test dev and test environments as probably the two lowest hanging fruit where efficiencies can be gained, whether in managed services, hosting, offsite, or in effect some sort of managed private cloud environment. So absolutely agree.
Okay, I'll leave the floor now for some final comments from Gabriel and Redden so that we can wrap up this afternoon's teleconsultation. So perhaps we can begin with Gabriel. Some final comments on, I guess, cloud computing and for the banks and the technologists and even the regulators who are listening to us right now, your final comments and thoughts on cloud computing.
For me, I mean, as a technologist, I'm really excited with the technology that's out there and how it has matured from hosted solution to extranet, where basically you have a dedicated network pipe between a vendor and a supplier. But again, we do have our concerns. I mean, today's world is an open world, especially out there in the internet. When we've seen all the recent press around security, around security breaches, we need to be connected about, again, these issues. But I'm confident that, again, technology will solve, at the end of the day, will solve some of these constraints in terms of adopting the cloud.
Thanks. Braden, any final words?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I agree this is a very exciting time. It's a great time for us to be in IT. We're being part of a revolution and having the opportunity to bring greater value to our organizations. We're at the beginning of a journey, and if we look at how our lives as consumers of internet services has changed so radically over the last 10 years, and how it's enabled us to get access to more information and data than we ever could have imagined. You know, the value that Google has brought to our lives in terms of finding and accessing information is amazing, and we're gonna be a part of another revolution here, and we'll solve these security, regulatory, and privacy challenges. And I look forward to the day when the kind of as a service opportunities are going to enable us to use our financial information in better ways. You know, I look forward to having the right amount of privacy around my data so that I can leverage it and get more value out of it and understand opportunities for me to perhaps make more money out of my own personal investments and so on. So I think that as we find ways to get the right amount of privacy and security and the right amount of regulation in place, we'll actually be opening up new horizons for us as consumers. And, you know, as a consumer, I look forward to seeing more efficiencies take place so that I'll have access to, you know, lower cost banking and then can focus my efforts on higher value banking. So I think this is a new world where there's a lot of opportunity out there for us, and looking forward to going on that journey with you.
Thank you very much. If you may allow me, I'll try to summarize some of the key points this afternoon very quickly. One is organizations must be very clear on how they define cloud computing and how they would apply it as a strategy for their organizations. Banks should also be clear with the SLAs that they enter with cloud computing service providers so that security and compliance is not compromised. The last one is, although security is an issue, it should not hinder the opportunity that cloud computing provides, and governance is key towards a good implementation of cloud computing. With that, I would like to thank our panelists for this afternoon, Gabriel Sala from Standard Chartered Bank and Mr. Braden Wandra from HP Enterprise Services, and thank everyone who has been participating, listening to us for the past hour or so. We will be sending the proceedings report of this one in the next week and the recording of this teleconsultation for your use as well. Thank you very much, and until the next time we have our teleconsultation.